We are your children, and Lord, we know that as you call us your child, we take such comfort in that. Lord, we just can't even fathom the love that you demonstrated as we come to celebrate that today around this table. Father, we can't even fathom that love. But we know that you love us, and we know that you love us even in ways that we don't even know about. We can't even express. We can't even understand. And Father, this morning as we come together as your people, we thank you that Murray is here with us, and we praise you for that. And we pray, Lord, continued healing upon him and Hertha. And Father, we just pray that as a couple, that as they continue to look to you and love you, that you would continue to comfort and shine on them. And there's so many others, Lord, that we could pray for this morning. And Lord, we think of Rose and Inga and Ken and Nestor and Bruce and Murray and Hertha, as we said, and Jenny and Nathan and Lori. And Lord, we just pray that in each situation that you would do your will and that you present yourself in new ways and that you bring healing where healing needs to occur in whatever way it needs to occur. Father, we think of those who are grieving right now. We think of Mira Luther and her family and the passing of their a cousin. And Lord, as well for the Vickers family. And Lord, we know right now that you are comforting. You're the God of all comfort. And so we pray that you continue to show them your peace and strength during difficult times. Lord, it's so good to come and worship. And it's good to hear what's happening and occurring, Lord, in Belgium. And Father, we just pray for the Danutes once again. And we lift them to you and pray, Father, that you continue to use them as instruments of your peace and grace to those who need to hear. We just pray, Father, that you'd bless the rest of the service, your word, and Lord, our celebrating together around this table. Father, bless us, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Wow. Have you all got your candies? That was a wonderful, tender moment for me when you said that pastors are allowed to speak for 2 hours. That was just did something for my heart. How are you all doing? That's good. There's three over here that are doing well, and I heard one over here. That's great. I'm a little nervous because Kalmalina's in the congregation this morning. I stole the sermon from him. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. It's great. You're all going to think that. How many have ever had you just had one of those stupendous days where you go, "This is just a great day. I'm having a great day." How many of you? All right. Yeah. Yeah, today's a great day. I'm just having a great day. I am. Today's a great day. But some days just don't go the way we plan. Look at this. "Hi, I'm home, Earl. How was the shopping?" "Good. Do you see, want to see what I bought?" "Okay. Ah, very nice. New shower curtains." Next one. "How was I to know it was a dress?" Yeah. One of those days, you know? You ever been there? Haven't we all been there one time or another? We have felt more than we've received our fair share, and we need to realize this morning something so critical, something so important. This morning, something that will get us through the hurt, through the pain. That's the promise of our Lord when we heard that this morning. Every one of us, at some point in our life, we've stood back and we said, "Why do I always have to be the one hurting? Why can't I just enjoy life for a little while?" Through our journey over these past couple of weeks, we've understood that struggles, pain, and suffering reveal more than our character. They reveal the strength of our commitment, our faith, and our maturity. The question I'm asked more than anything else when someone's hurting is, "What is God doing? Where is he in all this?" There's a feeling that the hurt journey is a lone journey. And that's why today I want to bring an understanding and assurance of what Christ does for us while we hurt. And the setting for today's journey is Matthew 14. And I invite you to turn there. Mandy read it so well this morning. Matthew chapter 14. The familiar account of the disciples being on the water and Jesus coming to them in the midst of the storm. And I love this passage, but it explains to me so much about what Jesus does for me. And I invite you to turn there to Matthew 14 as we look at what does Jesus do for us when we hurt. What does Jesus do for us when we hurt? I'm going to tell you, he prays for us. If you look at verse 23 here of this passage, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Now, the first thing that jumps out at me in this passage is that Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. And you know what happens? A storm brews, and they're tossed to and fro. Now, here are the disciples. They're in the middle of the storm. But Jesus is the one who put them there. He's the one that told them to get out in the middle of the lake. They are right in the middle of God's will. But they're suffering. Now, isn't that of interesting comfort? Some hurts come because we're out of God's will. I mean, you can think of many. Jonah and a whale of a story, you know? You know, Jonah deliberately disobeyed God's will, and so God sent a great wind. He was in a boat, and boom, he flew over, and boom, a big whale came along. Disobeyed God, so that's what happens. But like we see today, storms can occur because we are in God's will. I think we often neglect to focus on that aspect of our hurt. I know a lot of wonderful people who really do love God, who really do obey him, yet they have difficult pain and hurt. And when we have difficult times, we have to have our feet on the ground and understand that storms happen to people in the will of God as well as outside of the will of God. I don't know about you, but I take great comfort in knowing that. It helps me maintain my attitude of godly focus during a time when I hurt. Well, here at this time, Jesus was very popular. It's probably the best time of his ministry. He's just enjoying the time. In the eyes of the people, he just looked great. Many miracles have happened. The feeding of the 5,000 just occurred. But even though it's his height of popularity of Jesus, the religious rulers of the time are becoming very unsettled because they see Jesus gaining the respect of the common person. And it's a very, very difficult time for Jesus because Herod has just beheaded Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. And so as always, when the burden gets heavy upon his spirit, our Lord wants to withdraw, go away, and be by himself. And so he sends the disciples on the boat, he disperses the crowds, and he gets away to pray. That's the setting. And while the disciples were out in the lake during the storm, our Lord was praying. When you're walking through a storm, our Lord is praying. Romans chapter 8 is a wonderful passage. Verse 34 says, "Who then will condemn us? Will Christ Jesus? No, for he is the one who died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God." What does it say? Pleading for us. Pleading for us. I want you to take note of that this morning. When you're walking through that difficult moment, when you're walking through the joy of your life, when you're walking through grief, the place of highest honor next to God, that person is pleading for you. I like the way the Message Bible puts that passage. What do you think it says? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. It goes on. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. Wow. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Do you feel his arms today? Can you see the joy? Maybe shining through the clouds for you today is joy. It may even be like a rainbow showing in the sky is a promise to you, but when we approach God, we are treated so well, and that is solely where we find the help we need. I have such comfort and assurance to know that while I'm in pain, while I'm struggling, there is Christ there to walk me through the difficult moments of my life. Amen? You all understand this. It was like a photographer for a national magazine. He was assigned to get photos of a great forest fire. I mean, there was smoke everywhere, and the smoke at the scene was hampered him, and he asked us, phoned his home office, and he said, can you get me up there? So they hired a plane, and arrangements were made that he would meet at this nearby airport. Just go there, and the plane will be ready and waiting. And he arrived at the airport, and the plane was warming up near the runway, and he jumped in with his equipment, and he yelled, "Let's go! Let's go!" And so the pilot, he swung the plane into the wind, and they were soon in the air, and they were flying. And so the photographer yelled, he said, "Fly over the north side of the fire," and he was busy getting things ready. And then he said, "And make three or four low-level passes," and he was putting a lens cap, new lens on. And the pilot said, "Why?" And the photographer said, "Because I'm going to take pictures. I'm a photographer, and photographers take pictures." And after a long pause, the pilot said, "You mean you're not the instructor?" Have you ever had a moment like that? Jesus came to this world to talk to us about God, and he is now in heaven talking to God about us. Wow. We're here on earth hurting and struggling through our life. Our Lord is at the right hand of the Father, interceding and praying for us. And to that, I say amen. What does Jesus do for us when we hurt? He prays for us, but he also comes to us. If you look at verse 25, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When a problem arises in my life, when I hurt, when I struggle, when I just don't know what is happening, let alone why this is happening, there are those times when I look to God and I say, "Father, just rescue me. Take me out of this situation. Remove this from me. Help me." And he always comes at just the right moment. He comes. Never too early. Never too late. Just on time. Philip Yancey said, "What counts is the way a person reacts in the face of suffering." That's the real test of the person. What is our personal attitude to life and its changes and chances? And how are you doing today? I mean, really doing. Are you handling what's happening around you? If not, I invite you to talk to Christ and say, "Come, rescue me." He will. He will give you the strength to continue on. He will help your attitude reach a new level as you hurt. A few things I've learned, and I've learned from this passage, that my attitude, while I hurt, soars in knowing that Jesus will come to us during my darkest hour. During my darkest hour. During the fourth watch of the night. That today's NIV says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. I mean, here the disciples, they were going through the hardest moment of the storm, and then Jesus came. Did you know that the darkest hour of the night is right when? Before dawn. Before you see any light. Such a parallel here. There's a hymn. It goes like this. Just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear. Ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need him, Jesus is near. The darkest moment, the hour that you need him the most, Jesus arrives. I've also understood that my attitude, while I hurt, sores, and knowing that Jesus will come to us not just during my darkest hour, but also victorious over my greatest fear. Jesus went out to them walking what? On the water. Farmers traveling along the highway had a hay wagon. It was full of hay. You know what hay is? His horses were pulling because he used horses. It got the job done and it was cheaper. You know, gas has gone up. And his dog was alongside. And a truck came along and accidentally forced the farmer and his wagon off the road. And so the farmer is now sitting in court. And the attorney for the defense was grilling him, asking questions. Did you indicate to the defendant immediately after the accident that you were hurt? The farmer said, well, sort of. The attorney demanded, he said, please answer my question. Did you say you were hurt? And if not, why not? The farmer began. He said, well, let me explain. You see, when that big truck hit my wagon, it knocked me off the road and into a ditch. And my horse was knocked across the road and broke his leg, and my dog was pinned under the wagon. So your client took one look at the yelping dog and the agonizing horse and ran to his car, and he got a big pistol. He came back, and he shot my horse. He went over, and he shot my dog. And finally, with his pistol still smoking, he came to where I lay bleeding in the ditch, and he asked, and are you hurt? And at that moment, the safest thing I could say was no. Dealing with fear is a very difficult thing. Disciples are afraid of the waves. They're afraid of the water. Several of them are fishermen, and yet they are fearful of the very thing they have their livelihood over. They're afraid they're going to drown. They're afraid their boat is going to capsize, and they're looking at those high waves coming over the sides of the boat, and they're bailing water as fast as they can. They're scared. The waves are coming, and all of a sudden, on the very thing that fears them, those high waves, the place where their greatest fears are resting, Jesus comes walking. Walks in the very thing that frightened them. You see that? Do you see him today walking on the thing that you fear the most? Oswald Chambers said, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. This quiet, majestic way as he's walking on the water, Jesus is saying, guys, the thing that is the greatest storm in your life is under my feet. If you're sick, he comes walking in your sickness. If you're afraid of death, what did he do on Easter? He came walking in the waves of death. Jesus says, I am able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever ask or think. I can do that which gives you the greatest fear, the thing which causes you to tremble, the thing which causes you to falter. I can come walking on it. What joy that brings. The very thing Jesus walked all over was their greatest fear. Does the same for you. What does Jesus do for us when we hurt? He prays for us. He comes to us. And he ministers to us. If you look at verse 26 here, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. I love that. I just love that. I mean, here they are. They're terrified already of the water. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, now comes a ghost. And Jesus' ministers, I mean, they didn't have a clue what was happening. So they look out and they were, I mean, they thought they were scared until they saw Jesus, this ghost, coming along the water. Then they're even more scared. They can't grasp the situation. And Jesus walks across that water and he says, "Don't worry, be happy," you know. You know something? You don't have to understand everything all the time. You know that nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that you as a believer, that you should understand everything. There are those things in life that you and I are never going to figure out. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we're going to know everything. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, we look through a glass dimly on this earth. We look through smoky glass. You're not going to understand everything. You've got a pastor that doesn't understand everything. I don't have all the answers. There are things that I just can't comprehend. As we've heard last week, Romans 8 says, "For we know that all things work together for good." Paul said we know it. Why do we know it? Because we know that God's on the throne and God is sovereign over everything. We know that it is going to be okay because of God. We don't know why we're hurting. We don't know how we even got there. But we know that God is looking after it all. Paul doesn't say you'll understand everything. See, our security, listen, our security is not in what we know. Our security is in who we know. Amen? When we hurt, Jesus is walking right there with us, praying for us. He comes to us and he ministers to us in spite of our misunderstandings. And in spite of our fears, he does. He just does. And when we understand that, even when we're hurting, when we understand that, then as this passage closes, those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Truly, he is. Do you believe that today? Let's pray. So we bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe God is talking to you and nudging you, and you've been avoiding him. Maybe you've never said, "God, rescue me." Maybe you haven't come. You just allowed yourself to keep on hurting and hurting, and you haven't had him walking there with you. You know he's there, but you just never allowed him to minister to you. Today you can. Today you can invite him to. Maybe you've heard about Jesus, and maybe your friends have been talking to you about him, and you've never said, "Lord, I invite you to come into my heart today. I give you my life." Today, do that, because he will come. He will come. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Maybe you're saying, "Lord, I just need you to minister to me because I'm hurting. I need your comfort. I need your strength. I need you." Talk to him. Talk to him. Father, we can't understand sometimes the storm, why they happen, why they occur. Sometimes they're our own fault. Sometimes they're not. Lord, we can't understand why we have to hurt and why we have to feel pain and why we have to suffer and struggle. But Lord, we know that we don't have to understand everything. But we do know that you are there for us, walking with us, caring for us. Lord, I know that there are many in this room right now who could stand and give testimony to how you cared for them while they hurt, while they pain in pain and while they grieved. God, thank you for testimony. Lord, as we come to this table and sit together and worship you and remember what you did for us, the love you expressed on the cross for us, the pain and struggle you went through to get to that point, God, thank you. May we worship you today in spirit and in truth. rejoicing in who you are. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.